best and you know I'ma tear them apart. We ready to survival, rival. I ain't got no time for anyone who ain't put in the work that I do. You ain't heard about a stick, I'm gonna remind you. I've been out here doing what I still.
Well, hello and welcome to a T and Fisk edition of Radio Free Professional Wrestling. It is Sunday morning. We have just recovered from the first night of WrestleMania. It's David the Smart Mark, my smart one, my smart man. And I'm Sean. We're here to catch you up on everything that has happened up to this point during this crazy weekend of professional wrestling. David, are you holding up?
Just, my friend. Good afternoon, good morning, and the same to anyone who's caught up with this. I seem to have watched since Thursday night, and we're now on Sunday morning UK time, or Sunday afternoon UK time. I seem to have watched an awful lot of professional wrestling. Some good, some bad, some very bad, and some that I've quite enjoyed.
Very true, David. I don't know what day it is. I doubt I know what time it is. It's just all run together. I feel like I have watched about 72 hours of professional wrestling this weekend.
Yeah. We'll do our best. We'll do our best to catch you up on what we watched.
But let's catch everybody up on the standings at the moment and our little pick contest between me and Ashley. David, going into this, I was feeling a little bit confident. I made some picks on night one. I thought I would get a lead from night one, but ladies and gentlemen, going into night two of WrestleMania, Ashley's ahead of me 6-3.
It's hardly a shock, Sean.
You know, I predicted this on the WrestleMania preview show. I literally said I have a sub 500 record.
You did. I've actually heard it. Yeah, I've actually heard it because Ash was very contrite. She was like, "Oh no, you're going to kick me butt. You're going to kick me butt." And you were like, "You did actually say that you. It's not your. You need to stick to English football." You need to, you know, you're doing well on the boot room. Wrestling, not so much. And that didn't include Ring of Honor, did it? Which you're notoriously bad with.
You know, I went out of the way to avoid doing a Ring of Honor pick'em contest just for the simple fact that I knew that would not be good. I was hoping WrestleMania would be better for me. I should have went with Plan B. So
just remind me, what's that? It's a 6 or 8 matches. How many points can you glean?
There's 7 matches tonight, and I know for sure that me and Ashley picked 2 of them the same way. So I'm really gonna be trying to. I don't see a road here for me to actually get the cup back on my side. I feel like Ashley has this in cruise control. It doesn't matter how many points does Ashley win by tonight. We're just looking at, can she run the table again?
I'd just like to formally say, because I don't get to speak to her as often as you, Ash, if and when you're listening, well done, girl. Good girl.
Smart man. I was looking for a motivation speech here. I was looking for some words of encouragement.
Okay. What is it they say on the Big Bang Theory? You're screwed.
Okay, yeah, true. I feel like Cody laying down in the middle of the mat after the main event last night.
After a spear, yeah.
After that belt shot from The Rock, just laid me out and like one rock bottom people elbow. Yep, I'm done. Yep, we'll move on to next year's WrestleMania. Maybe I'll do better then.
That's right. That happened at silly o'clock for me. I've watched it back since. I don't think it's still registered, but yeah, it was. Well, I'm sure we'll come on to it.
Well, first question for you, smart man. What is the biggest shocking outcome from night one of WrestleMania?
Oh, 100%. Sami Zayn beating Gunther. 100%. Didn't see that coming at all.
David, that came after 666 days of Gunther running roughshod for the WWE, holding the Intercontinental title. And if you listened to the previous show, I basically gripped my teeth, closed my eyes, and picked Gunther to carry the day. Lazy. I'm the reason Gunther lost.
Mate, I can see that. I'll make one point. Don't get me wrong. El Generico, Sami Zayn, I have absolutely no issue with as a performer in anything he does. Anything he does. He's a star. He's excellent at what he does. But I go back to anyone who listened to our progress preview. This is Spike Trevay, Kid Lycoste. Of all people in that organization to take the Intercontinental title, which Gunther has actually revived, the promos for that was superb, mentioning, name-checking Pat Patterson, etc., all the way through. The people that have held the Intercontinental with distinction, and he's brought some prestige back to it. It's common about knowledge about what Gunther's strong points are. Hard-hitting Austrian, but can wrestle, looks big, chops big. No one wants him, even like, well, even Brock Lesnar, if you know what I mean. But we won't go into that. So they lose. So they have him drop the title. We've got no issue with him dropping the title at WrestleMania, but is Sammy's not going to carry that forward up for very long. And that is why I would call it shocking. I've got no issue with Sammy having it or having a belt as a you deserve it belt, but no, not for me.
Okay, so my biggest shocking outcome from night one of WrestleMania was probably how lackluster Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso was. I thought this match would be better than it was. On paper, it should be a good match. These guys are very good athletes. I guess I have a feeling that it is chopped up to the fact that this was the B-side of the Bloodline storyline, and it didn't get enough air on TV. Mm-hmm. And finally, they get into the ring, and it kind of reminded me of Matt Hardy versus Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, great analogy. Did it get enough on TV? Possibly not. But it certainly got more on WWE television than it would have done on AEW television. When, you know, because they just don't build at all. I think very underwhelming. I've used the phrase over the last 3 days, underwhelming a lot. And that is one of the big ones.
Very true. So my second question for you, smart man. What is the one WWE show you would tell your friends to go check out?
I would tell them to check out half of Supercard of Honor, not all of it, because you'll switch off or be bored unless you're a real. But the best show overall that I've seen so far this weekend has been Josh Barnett's Bloodsport Early Doors, and it raised my hopes for a good weekend, and I've been let down badly so far. But Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, enjoyed that.
David, I'm going to second you. That is the one show. All due respect to our friends over at Progress. They had a good show, but Bloodsport just knocked it out of the park. I mean, okay, this is my first time seeing Bloodsport, and I love the fact that at the beginning of the show, they lay out the rules, so any newcomer to this knows the rules, so you know what's going to happen, and they proceed to have some of the best matches of the week.
They also introduced all the competitors early doors as well, which I quite like, bringing them all out, letting them eye each other up in the ring. I think the last time I saw something like that was bizarrely in the IWA. But 100%. Really, really enjoyed it. And Charlie Dempsey, he is just an absolute machine. You can tell his genes. You can tell who he's been trained by. He's just brilliant. So that's why I would watch that if you're a wrestler.
Yes, that was a great match. We also saw Speedball Mike Belly versus Nick Nev, and we saw Shayna Baszler basically kick the head in of Martina Slamovich.
Yes, I think there was some frustration in that from Shayna.
So anyway, I was thinking about this. If you want to do a different presentation of professional wrestling, Bloodsport's it. I don't know if you can do it 52 weeks a year, but maybe once a month. Here's your other way to do professional wrestling. A sports version of professional wrestling is Bloodsport.
Yeah, maybe 6 shows a year or something. I think even monthly it might grate a little bit, but certainly six shows a year. Head and Shoulders, it's the whole show. If you're talking about, there was parts of Supercard of Honor I thoroughly enjoyed, but I wouldn't like to say, as I have done in previously, everyone who's listened to me on this podcast knows that I'm a big ROH fan, but there was only moments of SOH that I thoroughly enjoyed, but Bloodsport maintained my attention for the whole show, and that's the only one over the weekend that has.
Okay, so we'll move on to our third question of the show, and I'm going to ask you, how did our friends over at Progress do for Chapter 166 Freedom Walks Again?
Honestly, I thought it was awful, and not some of them weren't necessarily Progress's fault, I don't believe. Now, let me clarify that. The microphone, I messaged you straight away when I started watching. The microphone's not working, did them a huge disservice. In the opening, they had, what, a 10-man match? I can't remember how many were in it. But the whole point of it was to put Tate Mayfair's over, with the promo, and it died on its backside because the mics weren't working. Now, whose fault that is, God knows. It could have been the buildings, it could have been the engineers, it could have been progresses, it could have been anyone's. It could have been just one of those force majeures that hits a live event. But it set up, for me, the event to put it on right on the back foot, and it didn't really recover. The only thing I can say is, hand on heart, we called what the match of the night would be, and it was. And it was the only real match, for me, worth watching, which was our good friend Rio and Lana Ross, which was excellent. I've got two of the best matches I've seen this weekend are both ladies' matches. So don't bother with the I don't like women's wrestling slants, because my two best matches I've seen this weekend are both female wrestlers, and in one of them I can't stand one of the competitors. But I'll be honest, I'm an honest individual, and I'll call it as I see it. But Progress dropped the ball hugely for the reasons that we brought up on the preview show as well. The match selections were, and they didn't play out. What are they going to do with Spike Trevay now? I understand why Luke Jacobs has gone over, because Luke Jacobs would be my Progress champion. But what was that about Ricky Knight Jr. losing the Atlas Championship on that? What it didn't make me want to watch the follow-up.
You know, David, I feel like with the title changes here, we had two title changes on the night. So we had the Atlas Championship slide from Ricky Knight Jr. over to Yoshi. And like you, I'm kind of puzzled about it, because I was feeling like that would not be the title I would flop. Now,
yeah.
Hey, you know what? I called it the time title match, title change. I called it. And they moved it over to Sanity. And it was TK from the Sunshine Machine taking the pinfall there. It was a fine match. To me, personally, in rain, Progress was fine. It's that mic issue at the beginning of the show. And so, I felt so bad for SoCal Val. I was like going like, can anybody in this building give this lady a mic?
Yeah, 100%. I just got fixated with the Tate Mayfair attempt at promo. But yeah, Val was struggling right from the start, from the moment she got queued in for the live TV stream. And I think they brought her three out in like the first 2 or 3 minutes. And she was just like, look, help me here. And yeah, I don't think the show recovered from it.
Okay, so my other issue with this Progress card is the two guys on the announce team. I got a feeling they're either the GCW announce team.
I
hope they're not the Defy announce team, because these two guys.
I think they work for both companies, sure, between them, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Swap and change.
Well, they did not do Progress any service whatsoever. I really felt bad. I felt like, hi, Progress, fly me up. You could literally fly me up. I could have done this by myself and done a better freaking job.
Yeah, me and you would have been better calling that without a shadow of a doubt. I'm grumpy enough as it is at the moment with regards to professional wrestling. That's a valid point. I think the sound issue, and again, there could have been any number of reasons that we don't know about as an audience that performed, but it instantly put the show on the back foot, and it didn't. For me, it didn't recover, even allowing for the Rio Lana Austin match and, as you pointed out, the tag team match. But the crowd weren't invested in it at all.
No, they weren't. And I just feel like, you know, this is like the day after Bloodsport. So I watched Bloodsport is in the same building.
Okay.
If you came to me right after Bloodsport and go like, hey, how do you feel Progress is going to do? I would be like, it's a nice building, nice little setup. They should be fine. And it didn't click. And I feel bad for Progress, because I feel like Progress is a strong product. It just didn't click with this chapter. So don't judge Progress on this one chapter.
Yeah.
Go back, watch Progress on Demand, and wait for the next Progress show back in England. Give them judgment then. Don't use this as your one and only chance to look at Progress.
Yeah, 100%. Everything that Sean and myself said on the previous show is still extant. They've still got some huge talent. You didn't see the best of Spike in that. You didn't actually see the best of Luke Jacobs even man like DeReese in the title match, which I didn't really. Anyway, by the by, I'm not going to sit here and get bitter and twisted about it, because I don't feel guilty about anything that we've said, and we've been balanced in this. It happens. But yeah, Sean's right. Watch 167, which is out of London, and I think you'll have a different opinion if you watched it and thought, what the hell are those two idiots on about?
Let's move on to my fourth question of the week. And my fourth question of the week is, who have you been most surprised by in this week? Tough question, huh?
Tough question. Do you know where I'm going to go? Even though I absolutely despise this show and match, right? And I really did. And I'm going to go for Nathan Fraser, because I thought he was possibly the best out of the four of those performers in that NXT Stand and Deliver opener that stunk the place out. The internet went crazy. I went depressed and was looking for antidepressants because I thought it was awful. However, Nathan Fraser came out of it probably just about saving his skin. Won't do him any good, but again, and I don't know whether we're going to get onto that or not. I'd rather not, because it depressed the hell out of me, and that show did not.
Okay, so staying with that show, and I'm going to go to the Women's World title match as Roxanne Perez gets the title off of Lyra Valkyria. Me, personally, I feel like this was one of the best Lyra Valkyria matches we've seen, and I feel like we finally got to see the actual what WWE wanted in her when she was in NXT UK, and she first got onto the scene over there, and she had that matchup with the final boss, Mina Sakamura. And she came also close to being Sakamura. Then she got injured. And NXT UK, unfortunately, closed down. We talked about it in an episode of Ray Free for Fresh Wrestling about a year ago. I was so happy to see this lady have a nice title run here stateside. Now I want to see this girl go up to the main roster, because she's main roster ready. And leave Roxanne Perez down there in the NXT scene, because you need to have one good female wrestler to lead that division, and that's Roxanne Perez right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with any of that, because you've documented this well. You put that over eloquently. I was horrified at what I watched for 2.5 hours with this Stand and Deliver card as a whole. So talking objectively about it, for me,
I'll go ahead and agree with you. This was not the best Stand and Deliver card ever. It was an okay show.
You're very good. You are just super nice.
Okay, we're moving on to my fifth question here for you, smart man. Who was the most disappointing performer this weekend?
Oh, wow.
So far.
Right. I think the Usos, to be fair. There's a long queue, but because they're, I know I'm going to qualify that, I could call any of the six women in that six ladies tag from Stand and Deliver. I could, Noam Dar would be one that instantly speaks, like, I'm sat there horrified, having met Noam Dar when he was 16 and just getting into the British wrestling business. I felt like getting through my TV and slapping him and saying, what the hell are you doing? Seriously, I was mortified at that. Well, I think I messaged you almost immediately with my thought process. But I think the Usos, because we both know, you touched on it earlier, they're both main event talents. They're both huge talent. And that match was nowhere near close to what it should have been and to what they can do. So I'm going to go with that, Sean.
See, I kind of foreshadowed my choice here when we were talking about that Uso match, because it's really both of the gentlemen here. This match just did not click to the live audience or us watching on TV. I was hoping they would deliver a very good match, but unfortunately, it fell flat. That's all I can really say about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm moving on to my sixth question here. Now, earlier in the week, we were having the go-home show to WrestleMania on Monday Night Raw. As news was breaking, Tony Khan was releasing a number of talent, and two of the talents he released are the boys, the Tate Twins. And let me preface this, okay? I know the Tate Twins. I know them longer than I had this podcast going. To my knowledge, I want to say I know the Tate Twins before ROH had their big show in New York City at Madison Square Garden. So if you listen to Tony Khan's media call before Supercard of Honor, he had a question asked to him to ask why the boys were released from Ring of Honor on the week of Supercard of Honor, because they're involved in this big storyline with Dalton Castle and Johnny TV.
Yep.
So he basically says, it comes down to a hard decision. They miss a couple of shows, and he had no choice. He's releasing them because they didn't come to work. And that's why he says. He doesn't give dates. He just says that's the reason. And he moves on to the next question. So this gets reported out into the wrestling universe through the wrestling media. And the Tate twins go onto Twitter and go like, stay tuned, not true. So the Tate twins go onto their Twitter account. And I'm going to read from this here. And this is my personal opinion. I haven't talked to the Tate twins since this happened. I did send them a note saying, hey, guys, I know what Tom said. This is not like the Tate twins I know. So that's all I've said to be perfectly clear, honest here. Make sure you know where I stand here, okay? So going back to March 8th, and this is Brandon sending this message out. And he's going, hey, we haven't heard if we're on the Canadian shows next Saturday for Collision / Ring of Honor. We haven't been on the last two events, and the hotel cutoff date has already happened. We didn't want to book rooms if we're not going to be booked. Sounds perfectly fair, right?
Yeah. Not arguing.
So far?
Okay. Yeah, I'm good so far.
So,
I'm enjoying you getting angry.
So what comes down is somebody in AEW Travel reaches out to them.
No, yeah, you carry on, please. I'm enjoying it.
So we go back. So AEW Travel reaches out to the Tate twins and says, hey, we're booking you guys instead of out of Knoxville's airport, we're booking out of Nashville's airport in order to save about $800 a ticket. That's what AEW is claiming, okay? So the Tate twins reply back and saying, this is the first time ever in the history we've been traveling North America with Ring of Honor during the Sinclair era versus the Tony Khan era that we're flying out of Nashville, not Knoxville. And the airport in Knoxville is like the next county over. So like 35, 40 minutes, okay? So they take questions. They're like, if we knew, we would have got a rental car and, you know, go over to Nashville. So they reach out to Travel and say, hey, can we change it to get to go out of Knoxville? Because their cars are not working well and they don't feel like their cars can make it to Nashville, which is a 3-hour drive west of Knoxville on a good day, okay?
Yeah, I know so that
this,
personally.
Okay, so this is, yes, you have flown out of Knoxville's lovely airport. I know that. So this is the weekend of March 16th. So they're flying from either Knoxville or Nashville to Ontario, onto Ottawa, Canada, okay? This happens to be St. Patrick's weekend, and in Nashville, they're hosting the first round of the NCAA basketball men's tournament.
Yep.
So the Tate twins is going like, it might be just a little bit hard to get in and out of that airport. Why can't we get out of Knoxville? So lo and behold, they send this message off. They wait to hear back from AEW to respond. And when the Tate twins posted on their Twitter account, they don't get a reply back until the 16th, the day of the show. Asking them, why didn't they come to the show?
Now, okay, I like you when you're angry. I do like you. I don't personally, one thing, let me get one thing, try and do this in chronology, right?
Okay.
If it costs $800 per person or for the pair of them?
Okay. They said they were going to try to save $800 a ticket. So I'm assuming two tickets, so they're thinking about saving $1,600.
What a complete load of horse muck. Now, you don't let me swear on this, so I'm trying to be very, very polite. That is complete. And I'll tell you how I know this. Because we're in April. In January, is it in Knoxville Airport? On more than one occasion, thanks to the bloody snow. it costs me about a quarter of that to go to Heathrow. So, no, that would be my first red flag. $800 each to change. They've saved $800. And although you've said, 300 miles or 3 hours, in an aircraft, it's not actually that far because I went from, as part of my journey, I went from Knoxville to Charlotte in 28 minutes in the air. You know, so are you telling me that that's $800? It isn't. That's complete bull. And I challenge anyone on that. I challenge anyone.
Okay. So here, do yourself a favor. Pause this video podcast, or if you're listening on our audio feed, pause the audio feed. Open up Google and type in Knoxville to Ottawa. I did this. This is an experiment to see exactly how much it would cost. And AEW is saying it's more expensive because it's two stops. David, I did it for 2 weeks from now thinking, okay, in AEW world, you would think they'd be booking these flights in advance shows because they know where the show's going to be. They're going to at least do it 2 weeks out. So that way they can hand the tickets off to their talent so they can get there on time. Okay, so I did it out of Knoxville and I did it out of Nashville. The difference I found on two different independent sites, yep. $300 each tickets. Yes, it may be $300 more expensive per ticket out of Knoxville than Nashville, but instead of them saying two stops, all the flights I've seen were one stop. One, you go from Knoxville to like Washington, D.C., until Ottawa.
Yeah.
So,
look, despite what I sound on this podcast, I can be reasonably intelligent. And as soon as you said, as you know, Sean, I travel a lot. So as soon as you said that amount of money that they're quoting, you're full of it, Mr. Khan, which is not the first time. I despair, Sean, with them. I feel sorry for the Tate boys. I really do, because they're part of Dalton Castle's act. I know that they're going to do something, but I have a feeling that maybe someone's been in Tony's ear. They've looked for an excuse, and they just wanted to get rid of them. Simple as. End of story. They've been poorly treated. It's a wrestling business. Tony can do that. It's just he seems to do it with the wrong people.
Okay, so let me wrap my side up here. So he goes to Supercon of Honor, has the mini scrum after Supercon of Honor. John Pollock brings this question back up, and I give all credit to John Pollock to bring this question back up. He says, hey, have you noticed what the Tate had posted as a response to them being released? And Tony Khan goes like, I'm kind of aware of it, but it doesn't change his feeling on the situation.
Yeah, okay. You're innocent. You're innocent, but you're still sacked.
He later on in the same media scrum goes like, hey, in different scenarios, I wouldn't mind having all this Royce talent back, including the Tate Twins. He's trying to be Mr. Nice Guy. He doesn't want to alienate any of these wrestling reporters in front of him. Is he an egomaniac?
I think maybe to a degree, but I think the Punk interview with Ariel Helwani summed it up. He's a nice guy, but not a boss. I think that is probably the most illuminating insight. I don't know. Watching Punk on WrestleMania last night, he seemed happy. He was, some of the banter between him and Big E was just really, really funny. Tony's dropped them. Basically, Tony, it comes down to one of two things. Tony can't book. He can't book. He can't. All he does is his own little fantasy matches in his own head and what certain other individuals put in his head that they want to do. And he can't be a boss. He's got no man management skills whatsoever. He's just been lucky that his father is a billionaire and will do anything he wants for his son, which is the natural fatherly thing to do. I don't actually blame Chad Khan for what he did, apart from giving him Fulham. Now, that was a strange decision, but that's the football fan in me. Tony has been, from the first day on 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, whatever it is, a complete misnomer, and he has let wrestling fans down. I will say this till I go to the grave. AEW has been a complete misnomer. For all the talent that it has, it is a god-awful wrestling promo. And the only thing I can say to close this is, who the hell have AEW got booking their tickets and flight tickets? Is it Paul Heyman on the side? It's the only way, because they've gone ECW. They have genuinely gone like ECW in the late 1999. Sorry, I ranted there.
Okay, so my final statement on this situation is this. I will be canceling my Honor Club after I watch Supercard of Honor, and I will never, ever, ever, ever buy another AEW pay-per-view so long as I live.
Wow. Seriously?
Seriously. I am done with giving Tony Khan 1 cent of my money.
I understand. How the hell are you going to review shows? Or are you going to do a on the?
Okay, so stay tuned to Radio Free Professional Wrestling. I will announce how we'll be doing that on Tuesday's episode, okay? We will still cover AEW. I will still watch Dynamite, Collision, and Rampage. All I'm saying is I will not fund Tony Khan's project since he threw my friends under the bus.
I cannot.
And hey, Tony. Open invite. You can come on Radio Free Professional Wrestling. We can do an interview. Now, granted, I will ask follow-up questions. I will lay out all the facts as I know them, and you can respond.
I'm mushed. I've seen you this angry. I've never seen you this angry. All the time we've done this, and I've known you. I cannot wait also to get Ash's take on this. Ash, come on, girl. Get yourself revved up. Just imagine that somebody has bullied Bryan Danielson. Yeah, she'll be off. She'll be like a little Rottweiler, a little terrier. At the end of the day, I'm going to swear now, or you can decide whether it's a British swear or an American. At the end of the day, Tony's a knob and does not know what he's end of.
Question so to seven, borrow one of your favorite, to borrow your one of your favorite sayings, he can go, and when he get there, he can go some more.
Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what they're talking about, this is in Anglo-Saxon. Tony, go away. And when you get to go away some more. Just two words slightly different.
Okay. So moving on to seventh question for us. We saw the main event of WrestleMania. And I got to say, some people didn't like it. I personally thought it was okay. The guys did what they should have done. It was a 50-minute match that kept the crowd entertained and advances the storyline one day as the Bloodline comes out victorious. And tonight, it's Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Bloodline rules. David, does Cody Rhodes finally finish the story?
He has to. Everything. Now, I know the WWE are not above a bait, but he has to. Everything builds towards that. It just has to. Yeah, it might have even given it away. I know they're not averse to last-minute changes and what have you, but yeah, he has to. Simpler.
I feel like if they don't do it here, they better never mention this in the history of WWE.
Yeah.
Point.
Yeah.
In a sense. Absolutely. We are moving on to question number 8. Do you think we're going to get a surprise debut at the Raw after Mania? Now, it's been a few years since we had the typical Raw after Mania where we had the big surprise. Is this the year we change things and we go back to the old way of doing Monday Night Raw?
Right. Okay. Yes. And I'm just going fantasy, pure fantasy booking here. Yes. And it's MJF.
See, if it was me, I would do that. I feel like that would be the oh my god, wow moment of the night. They kind of already did it at NXT Stand and Deliver, where they had Julia standing in the crowd, do the typical NXT debut, like, oh, look in the crowd. This is the hot new talent that we have coming into the company. I would have literally done that on Monday Night Raw because I feel like Julia is ready for the main roster. I don't know why they're bringing her to NXT first. Maybe they want to get her to the WWE style instead of just letting her showcase what she can do.
Mate, you can't compare the two for me. You imagine at some point, whoever, let's just say, right, particularly with the history here, let's just say we're right, we're expecting to be. Cody goes out and finishes his story. He's coming out Monday Night Raw. He comes out to the Papa Pops. He's doing his speech. He's doing this thank you. I did it for who? My dad, my mum, my brother, my dog, you know, what have you. And then all of a sudden, it's about three quarters of the way through the promo that MJF music hits, bearing in mind with the AEW background, the AEW backstory, etc. Cody, I've come for you. You wouldn't stay around waiting for me. I've come for you. It would just, do I have to say it? It would just be genius.
It would break the wrestling internet. It would break the wrestling internet.
It would, wouldn't it? Apart from that, if it isn't that, I can't think top of my head, because I didn't know these questions prior to coming here. I can't think of another one. There must be someone out there that could do it, but I can't see one for top of my head. I think of one off the top of my head.
Well, I love your choice. It's an excellent choice. So let's move on to probably the biggest question coming out of night one of WrestleMania. And Michael Cole, if you played a drinking game, you are probably stone cold drunk right now because this dude said he was cold so many times on night one. So was it a mistake to have WrestleMania in Philly at the beginning of April?
No, I don't think it was. WrestleMania's in April. They did mention it was cold a few times, but if you watch the NFL like me and you do, Philly's gonna be cold. It could have been a lot worse, Sean. We both know that.
Oh, it could be so much worse. Just imagine if they had it in January in Knoxville, they would have been up their eyeballs in snow.
Hey, I love the Coliseum. You leave it alone. It's my new bestest place ever. I haven't told you yet. I'm coming over again next year, but I'm coming at a more civilized time. I've been formally instructed by Mrs. Smart Mark that I've got to go over when the time difference is 4 hours and not 5.
Okay, fair, true point. But it could have been worse. Yeah. And I feel like the people flying in from Europe at the Americans going like, oh, this is a spring day, 54 degrees, spring day, buddy, spring day. Yeah, what are you talking about?
It would not bother the Europeans one iota. I mean, ironically, at the moment, as I sit here recording with you in my kitchen at the conservatory, we've got the remnants of one of your blooming storms again, and the wind is blowing a gale outside, and all the trees in my back garden are nearly at 90 degrees. So, yeah, no, a night in Philly, I don't think would have made a blind bit of difference to the European audience, mate.
Okay, so my final question for this show. Where would you like to see WrestleMania host next? Now, the rumor is next year they're going to Minneapolis, Minnesota. That will be a indoor stadium as the Vikings play in a dome.
Oh, okay.
But I'm asking you, David, if you could put WrestleMania anywhere in the world, where would you like to see them go to a venue?
Sean, did you put that in as a rhetorical question?
I could have.
Yeah, you know where. I mean, obviously, I'd like to see it at Wembley over the two nights. The problem is, as we just mentioned, it's the time difference. AEW just about got round it with All In. It's interesting to see, and what it would do, obviously, AEW quite rightly dined out on the ticket sales numbers of All In, right? The setup, et cetera, it looked great. But what is the most natural thing that the WWE can do to put two fingers up at AEW? Go over to Wembley in April and sell it out two nights back to, which they would. No two ways about it, they would. Now, on a personal note, as an Englishman, I would like them to come to England, but I would like to come to somewhere in the Midlands, in the centre of the country. But unfortunately, we don't have a stadium that would be big enough at the moment. You know, you're looking at a 70 to 80,000 seater, aren't you, really, for WrestleMania, for like that. And therefore, that leaves Old Trafford in Manchester. The Millennium Stadium in Cardiff, which is obviously where Clash at the Castle was done, and Wembley, really. They're the three most logical points to do it. But our prime example this afternoon is, we talked about this off air, Wembley is notoriously difficult to get to if you're a punter, right? It is particularly you've got to go around the tube in London, and it's parking's expensive, very, very, very expensive. So when they built the new Wembley, it's why Wembley was not nationally received well, quite simply because it's so expensive, so difficult to get to. And at the moment, the reason I say this as well, there is an ongoing debate at the moment because my football team are at Wembley this afternoon in a trophy, and we talked about this. I'm not going to go on about this, but a lot of my friends who've gone to the game are moaning that from 8 o'clock this morning, all the trains from Peterborough were just rammed, and people are waiting for hours and hours to get on the trains to get down there. Bear in mind, on the train, London King's Cross from Peterborough is less than an hour's travel. So Wembley is not. I would like to see it at Wembley, if just for the old SummerSlam, you know, it's something that we've done to death on this show, not back. And I would like, if it is the first WrestleMania outside of the US, I think it has to come here. And that's with all due respect to Europe, Australia, and all the, you know, the WWE audiences. But Vince, Christ, Triple H, Tony, the other Khan, they're not stupid. Nick Khan will know that the UK audience, they'll sell Wembley two nights running easily.
Okay, David, I see WrestleMania being in London in the next 5 years. I do. Yeah. Me personally, I want to see Nashville once the Titans get their new stadium. The new stadium for the Titans it's going to come online in 2027, and there's rumors that WrestleMania is going to be there. So stay tuned. You may be making a trip over to Nashville.
Yeah, you do. You need a swear word there because I got all excited. Yes, now I'm a familiar flyer with the area. And to be fair, guys, if you listen, I know Sean and I are brothers from another mother. And that's as nice as I'm ever going to get to him now, because I'd only get two nights. But my 2 weeks, which ended up being 2 weeks in Knoxville, the people in the Deep South, irrelevant of some of the horror stories you hear about sometimes in the Deep South, they couldn't have been nicer. I had such a good time. It was so relaxing, so chilled. And the only stress I got in the entire 2 weeks is when it snowed like it hadn't snowed before for about, what, 25, 30 years, mate?
30 years. It was 30 years when I woke up that Monday morning. But getting to Nashville, Nashville is a big, bigger city. It's the biggest city in Tennessee. It passed Memphis a few years ago, so it'd be the biggest city. It's the center of country music. It's an easy city to fly into internationally. So it makes perfect sense. Once the stadium gets online, WrestleMania comes to Nashville. They already had SummerSlam. They sold SummerSlam out. I feel like that was a trial. So, and oh, by the way, if we get WrestleMania in Nashville, I want to see Parker's come over too, because I will make sure to come over a couple days early to catch that as well.
Yeah, damn straight. Yeah, I'm down to I'm already planning my flight. absolutely brilliant. And I've got to go back to Knoxville Coliseum. That was, for me, that was, as you know, that was just a joyous moment in my life, even though we went to see ice hockey, but that was still entertaining. And I want to hear that Tennessee University fight song again, when literally, I'm just going to put some context on this, guys. The presentation, while I was over there, I dragged Sean, because I'm a big hockey, I dragged Sean to see the Knoxville Ice Bears at Knoxville Coliseum. Two birds with one stone, classic all-time wrestling venue with so much history and ice hockey. For me, it was just like a dream come true. Anyway, the entertainment was superb during the whole course of the game, probably better than the ice hockey, to be fair, but that was no one's fault. And then all of a sudden, randomly for me, as a Brit in the deep south, they started playing this, to me, seemed hokey piece of country music. Now, I'm not being disrespectful here. I'm just telling you how it happened at the time. And everyone around me, including my friend who'd been reasonably placid and passive during the course of the evening, sat next to me, was up doing the actions to this song, singing along, pumping his fist in the air. And I'm like, what the is going on? And then when he sat down, when it was over, and I was then like, oh, well, you know, obviously I'm missing something here. He'll tell me in a minute. And the whole audience were doing it. It was really, really funny, but really, really brilliant and entertaining. And you sat down, and Sean, it was
Rocky Top. It's the fight song to the University of Tennessee. And it was just great to see David's reaction to a whole group of Knoxvillians singing the fight song to the University, and he has no clue. And it was one of my favorite moments of the trip for David. It was a fun game. It was the first time I'd seen ice hockey. So, yeah, that was great. Also, before we went into the arena, we're sitting outside. This nice young child looks at David. Your accent's kind of weird. Where are you from? And David turns around and goes like, yeah, I'm from Peterborough, England. I literally turned around and went, yeah, he's from that country that we beat for our independence. But he's kind of cool.
That was funny. That poor kid. I started talking to him about Knoxville ice hockey and hockey in general. And it was just brilliant. It was because obviously there was a lot of Predators jerseys out there as well as the Knoxville. But it was a really, really, considering that they've had a tough season. It was Jake Allen. I would love this, by the way. Jake, if you're out there, you'd have loved it. It was their loyalty, but the chance, with being a football fan, the chance, I was crying, absolutely crying. It was so, so entertaining and so friendly and just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Even the two away fans, there was two away fans in the ring, sat opposite us, and they were getting grief off a load of pensioners who were sat down in front of where Sean and myself were sat. And I love that. As long as it doesn't get to unnecessary things. But they were giving each other gestures and shouting at each other across the ring. And like, they couldn't ask each other outside because they were both so old and infirm that it took them two seasons to meet up outside of the ring for a fight. But it was just genius. It was one of the highlights. It was just one of the highlights of the trip. It was a life affirming moment. Anyway, I've digressed. Sorry.
Okay, so we are going to land this ship here because this episode, as we are getting ready for night two of WrestleMania. David, what are you looking forward to on the last night of WrestleMania? How can they finish this so you would be happy and happy as I am?
Okay, I'm not going to throw my toys out the cart if Cody doesn't. I fully expect it tonight, and I'll be surprised if he doesn't, but I'm not going to have my toys out the cart. What I would really, really like to see tonight is Drew beat Seth, just from a British perspective.
I get a feeling that Seth is going to drop the title just for the main fact that we saw Becky Lynch lose to Rhea Ripley the night before. I get a feeling both Becky and Seth are going to take some time away to heal up Seth, because Seth has a lot of injuries going on. And Drew is on fire. This guy has been on fire for the last 3 months. This guy needs a title. He needs to be the guy going into the summer for WWE.
Yeah. Just a quickie before we cut off. Do you see a Damian Priest catching tonight?
Okay, so I literally tweeted out as I was watching the first night of WrestleMania, do you think Priest catches in night one? Because I thought he would literally catch in on night one. Rock lays out Seth. We see the Bloodline lead the ring. Here comes Damian Priest at the case. Frozen and 1, 2, 3. Damian Priest is your new world champion. And we get Damian Priest versus Drew night two. That didn't happen. Yeah. So now I'm thinking, we're not going to get this cash in until maybe the Raw after Mania, or literally on Money in the Bank. They're sending it to Money in the Bank.
Yeah, where's that? That's...
Okay, so Money in the Bank is in Toronto in June. Right. The next premium live event we have, we're going over to France for Backlash in May. It's the weekend before my birthday. Hint, hint, wink, wink. So if anybody wants to fund my trip to France, which I doubt I'll go, but you know, if I got some tickets, I probably would have gone.
I think I should treat you. I've heard she's exceedingly well off.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Sean and David. This has been T and Fisticuffs here on Ready Free Professional Wrestling. If you have liked this episode, give it a thumbs up. Until then, stay stunning.
Bye-bye.